You are now listening to the CRC podcast, brought to you by Pastor Act Bossoff. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Amen. Come on, we believe good things are heading our way in Jesus' name. And no matter what we are seeing in the natural, we know that we serve a supernatural God and that God is in control and God is orchestrating our deliverance and our best days are ahead of us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being with us tonight. Thousands in our facilities illegally. So welcome to the people sitting outside, people in the mezzanine floor, people on the other mezzanine floor, people in children's facilities, people all over the building, inside, outside, 50 people everywhere. So we'll do what we can to get you back to the house of God, because we believe that we are the pillar and the ground of truth and we are the hope of the world, and nothing and no one will shut us down in Jesus' name. Welcome to Faith TV, Dr. Andre and Jenny Rayburn. Thank you for this great opportunity to bring God's Word live to people across the world every single Sunday. Praise Stevie, what an honor to be with you tonight. Facebook Live, YouTube Live, radio stations, CRC Online, and then all over the world. All the beautiful people in Russia, I will learn how to greet you properly, and we believe that next year in Stalingrad, we are going to have a crusade, God willing, if this COVID no longer controls the way it is. Israel, America, we welcome you. Europe, India, Pakistan, China, and Africa. Come on, everybody that loves Jesus, say a big amen. Amen. So I'm wearing gold tonight to say to you, you are a winner, and we don't fight to lose. Amen. No, I'm just wearing it, by the way. It's Eddie and me. We are in the same team, okay? In the winning team. So take your seats tonight, and let's continue to pray for God's favor. It's an urgent hour, and it's not time to be sleepy. Let me say that and not say any names from the platform. Amen. It's not time to be asleep. It's time to be wide awake in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 13, the Bible says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all you do be done with love. Starting a new series tonight, I've been wanting to talk about this for a long time. As we edge or start to talk about the end times. You know, people ask me when I sat on with an Afrikaans television presenter recently, program will be shared over 2 weeks in October, secular program, he was trying to get me to answer all the time, is this the last days? Are these the last days? And I said, of course it is. Because the last day started 2,000 years ago. We are in the last of the last days. Rather ask me, is this the last hour in the context of the last days? More than ever, our country needs a church, listen, that is watching and discerning. And I want to talk about that tonight. Secondly, standing firm in the faith. Firm in the faith. People who are brave. People who are strong. And people who walk in love. And really a big shout out to the women's ministry and all the women for what you are doing over Women's Month, helping thousands and thousands. This week we distributed in Kaya Sands, in Mamelodi, and we will show that next Sunday so that our television viewers can also see what we are busy doing. And this is all sponsored through our generous members. So thank you for your generosity. You are the best, all our CRC members. We don't do any offerings, but you continue to give. And you have for the past 18 months, and I really salute you because you are making this vision possible. God bless you for your sacrifice. Remember, we are here to advance God's kingdom, not to sit at home and to just survive in Jesus' name. So I want to start tonight, and I'm going to do more of a teaching, and speak to you about watchmen on the wall. Watchmen on the wall. Isaiah chapter 62. Verse 6, the Bible says, I've set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. And give him no rest until he establishes, his promises that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the nations as a witness, then the end will come. I don't want to run ahead of myself, But I want to say to you that Satan does not have the power to preempt the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say amen. The five people that are in the building this evening, 50. You better shout like 5,000 people, okay? Amen. I thought I'm going to put curtains up everywhere like restaurants, and I can have 50 there, 50 there, 50 there, and a 6,500 seater, and I'll get the Department of Health to come and the police to come and everybody to come and say, just 50 yeah, 50 da, here 50, daar 50, oral 50. Jesus even made people sit down in 50s, so it's okay. So we'll keep the aisle between you and the other 50. My dear brother, my dear sister, the minute we just roll over, there's no hope. The minute we become silent concerning our cause, everybody's shouting their cause, we have to shout the cause of Christ and never be intimidated or silenced. It says, give him no rest until he establishes his promises, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Now we know that the Old Testament is prophetic, and you have to interpret it two ways, according to the Old Testament and according to the New Testament. Everything in the Old Testament has a spiritual significance in the New Testament. So when God talks, he talks to his church. Israel of the Old Testament is Israel of the New Testament. Although there is still the natural Jew, there's also the spiritual Jew. Go study it out in Romans chapter 2. So watchmen in these days, those of us that come from a military background, not that we chose, we had no option, will remember what it was to stand watch. In these days, the watchmen would stand on these walls of these fortified cities, and they had a twofold responsibility. Number one, they had to keep a watchful eye out for the unexpected attack of the enemy. So you do not just need watchmen in times of war, you need watchmen 24/7. And I want to encourage our intercessors in CRC that we step up the level of prayer, intercessors, that we pray for the favor of God. The intercessors, amen, those called to the office of intercessory prayer, we need you to pray like never. Groan and travail, pray, knock, those standing in the authority and the office of intercessors. You know, I'm a bit concerned since my father-in-law is no more, who was the chief intercessor, that we don't have people standing up in that role of intercession. We need some individuals to stand up in intercessory prayer as a calling. I mean, that man woke up every morning 2 o'clock and prayed from 2 o'clock till 5 o'clock. And then he would pray again from 8 o'clock till 12 o'clock. And every evening he would pray. That was a calling. Sometimes it's one person that can make a huge difference in a ministry. People always ask me, Pastor, what can I do for you? I say, pray for me. If you can do anything, pray for me. Don't give me your mind and your advice. I don't need your advice. I do in the right setting, but pray for me. Amen? That's the only thing Paul ever asked. He didn't ask for a personal offering. I tell people always, don't give me anything. I don't want your money. Pray. Give your money to the church. Advance God's kingdom. Feed the poor. But if there's something you can do, then it is pray for your pastor. Pray for your leader in Jesus' name. And then they were the first line of defense. This is who they were. Now, when watchmen were asleep, the city became vulnerable. The nation, the country, the world. So our calling spiritually is to be watchmen in the house of God. Bible's very clear. We know the battle always originates in the spirit realm. The Bible is clear. And I read on social media today a doctor that said he's so tired of people walking into his consulting room and telling him how he should diagnose them. Now, sometimes I don't get tired, but I get agitated that there are so many Christians who think because they know a scripture, we don't know the scripture. As pastors who have preached for 34 years and we have successfully established God's kingdom. So maybe that scripture is for you. I don't need your word, okay? So Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles meaning the strategies, the plans, the schemes of the devil. Now, every plan, strategy, scheme of Satan that originates in the spirit dimension will manifest in the physical dimension, not as the devil, but under the guise of tranquility, antichrist, like Christ, comes as a Messiah, comes as the Savior of the world, replaces this Savior, Jesus Christ. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So you have to understand, and I don't want to talk about the devil, but I want you to understand that he is very organized, very organized. His demonic forces are very organized. Through prayer, we can confuse them and we can scatter them. And one thing Christians will have to begin to understand, attacking your brother from another denomination is not doing the work of Christ. I've never gone on social media and seen Muslims attacking one another, Hindus attacking one another, Jews attacking one another on social media. The only people who attack one another on social media are those who call themselves Christians. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 9. You're not there to attack your brother. You are there to watch over your brother. Amen? To be your brother's keeper. I've got four amens for him. Can I have five? Five, five, five. Do I have five? Do I have five? Do I have six? Do I have six? Do I have seven? I have seven, 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 seven. Do I have eight? Do I have eight? Do I have nine? Nine, nine, nine. You know, if you're not called to do this in this hour, you won't last, like many aren't lasting already. So 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 to 9, he says, be sober. That means be wakey, wakey. Wakey. Be wide awake. Discern the hour. Discern the time. Don't discern the scientist. Don't discern the WHO. Don't discern the UN. Discern the hour. Discern. As the Americans like to say, spiritually. Discern spiritually. Discern truth through truth. No, discern perceived truth through truth, who is Jesus Christ and the Word. You have to look at the world through the window of God's Word, or you'll get lost in the agenda, in the conversation of the world. So you have to be sober. You have to be vigilant. That means forward-minded. Not on the defense. The minute you go into a defense mode, you have lost the battle. Jesus never called the church to go into a defensive mode. Everything about the language of Jesus Christ is to be on the offensive. Because his kingdom is an ever-increasing kingdom. Are you listening to me tonight? It says, because your adversary, your opponent, the devil, who is your enemy, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. That's a verb. Nothing passive about that. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So everybody's facing this pandemic. Everybody is told the same thing. And yes, the virus is real, as is cancer, as is TB, as is HIV. As is every other sickness and every other disease, it's real. It's real. But we should not fear it, as is an aeroplane crash, as is a taxi crash where 18 people die. It's real. Doesn't mean you never get on a taxi again, you never walk over a road again. These things are real. We're not afraid, because we're all gonna die. Hello, I said we're all gonna die, and the Bible says your days are numbered. You don't know when you're gonna die, but you are gonna die. You don't know what you're gonna die of, but you are gonna die should Jesus tarry. Everybody's gonna die. And for those of us who are in Christ, we don't fear death. Why? Because we live purpose. When you live purpose, you're not afraid of death. You don't go in a survival mode. You're not pushed into a corner, because all they can do is they can kill you, but they can't kill your spirit. They can't kill your soul. So the Bible says, resist him steadfast. There's the word again, in the faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So we don't go around burning and looting things, okay? Although sometimes we think the only way we'll get attention is by burning something. So I am also going to burn stuff, but I mean stuff meaning people by the Holy Ghost, okay? I'm going to set the right fires, and that fire will get attention, and that fire will draw a crowd. So although we walk in the flesh, and although the only thing that our government responds to is action in the flesh, we have a greater power. So listen to me tonight. We can pray people in authority, and we can pray people out of authority. We can pray people into government, and we can pray people out of government. Listen. Because God still decides, no matter how big your checkbook is, who will be the next president, who will be elected at the ANC conference next year, no matter what plans, what schemes, God will outwit the plans and the strategy of Satan every time. And by this, I'm not saying that we pray people out of power. I say we pray for people that will protect the church. How can any government official justify the position of power? And he calls himself a Christian, and he's not a defender of the faith. And the only thing he will give account of one day when he stands before God is, what did you do for my kingdom? How? You can never justify that. Now I'll say it, I'm outspoken. That's why I'm a big target. I'll wear t-shirts with a target because obviously I'm one. But if people were concerned about safety and saving lives, then taxis would not have 18 people per taxi. So let's start there and end the conversation there. Over and out. That's it. Beyond that, it's total discrimination and prejudice. And a clear revelation of an agenda. So don't talk to me about saving lives. We need to save souls, amen. But I mean, people in the world don't understand it. But if they were true to what they said, they would not risk people in public transport. They would not risk people in airplanes. They would not risk people in certain areas and scenarios. I mean, in our feeding programs, our people go out and there's no social distancing, no wearing of masks, and no police presence. But come Sunday, the safest environment in town where we social distance better than anybody else, the church becomes a target. And you want to tell me that doesn't concern you sitting there in your couch tonight, that there's not an agenda against the church? You want to say to me, you really believe that? So as watchmen, listen, we have to discern and diffuse the plans of the enemy. Discern and diffuse. Discern and diffuse. It's you know that discernment is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's like people have lost discernment. All they can discern is what the news reporter says and what somebody else says. Fear mongering. It's all they can discern. They can't discern by the Spirit. That's the problem. You sit with spiritual leaders, you see people have no discernment of the hour. Not of the natural. You don't discern the natural, you discern the spiritual. And you are moved by what is happening in the spirit world. And if you want to perceive truth and you understand eternity, you will understand there's always conflict between light and darkness. Everything you discern has to be discerned through the working and operation of two kingdoms. Kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light. When you're born again, you are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. You operate and live by different principles. You are now led by the Holy Ghost. Your spiritual eyes are open and you see what is really happening. Without being a conspiracy theorist, I'm not one. Let me just say this. Never have been, never will be. But there are some things so blatantly evident that if you can't see it, there is a veil not only over your mouth, but there is a veil over your eyes. I think the mask have moved over your eyes, your spiritual eyes. And you've been lulled into a slumber. It's all a part of Satan's plan. It's in the Bible. Certain things we can't stop. But if God's word has not been fulfilled, Isaiah, we just read, we have to delay certain events. Are you listening to me? So there's more at stake than you sitting at home feeling safe. There's a battle. And because you're alive at this hour, you are part of that battle. It's a battle between darkness and light. It's a battle for the souls of humanity. I understand 78,000 people dying in 18 months is a lot of people, and we mourn the loss of every person. But so did we during the AIDS pandemic, when many, many more people lost their lives and nobody said anything. And so did we through every other disease that have plagued humanity, cancer, that is the biggest killer after heart disease still. And nobody talks about that. So we have to discern the hour and defuse the plans of the enemy, no matter where it comes from. A new world order, the Bible talks about it. So don't be blind and say, Pastor, there's not a spirit behind this. There is a spirit, and it's the spirit of the Antichrist that wants to establish a new world order. And even people that are being used do not think that they're doing evil, because that's deception. When you're deceived, you think you're doing good. Well, actually, you are a puppet on a string for somebody else. That's why if you don't have understanding of the Bible, you will not understand what is happening. You just go, meh, no matter who talks. No, you should, meh, when Jesus talks. When everybody else talks, you should say, excuse me, I just want to go to the Bible and see where I'm at. What time of history do I find myself at? Where's the church at right now? Has the gospel been preached to all the nations before the return of our Lord Jesus Christ? People say we're in the starting beginning of the early tribulation. I don't believe it. And I'll talk about the rapture in weeks to come, etc. But we don't want to get so heavenly minded we know earthly good, okay? So let's take it step by step so we can have discernment and understanding as God's people, the church. So God calls us to pray. God always calls us to pray. So prayer is always the first resort, not the last resort, but it's not the only resort. We have to pray and preach. We have to pray and stand. We have to pray and push back. We have to pray and stand up. We are not called to pray and roll over. So Jesus instructed us several times to watch and pray. You know, let me take a sip of my super juice. People always ask, what is in there? Well, you don't want to know. It's not as strong as what you drink, by the way. Okay. But, so for us that have been Christians for many years, I've been a Christian now for almost 40 years, literally. I'm not a baby. I'm not a baby in the things of God. I've been born again for two-thirds longer than I've been alive. I've been a pastor for 34 years. I've seen everything, heard everything, every theory. In 1988, I heard that Jesus was coming back because of Gorbachev, who had the mark of the beast, and all he had was a birthmark. I've heard everything. In those years, all we heard was end-time preaching. Then when the barcode came out, it was the Antichrist. And then the millennial 2000, you all forget, it was the Antichrist. 2012 was the Antichrist. There's always been Jesus is coming back. Now, when is Jesus coming back? I'll tell you now, okay? Mark chapter 13, verse 32. But of the day and the hour, no one knows. But of the day and the hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven. Because one of them may whisper something to us. Not even the Son. Why? Because Jesus loves you too much not to tell you. He's going to tell you, I'm coming back tomorrow, get your life right. He's going to talk to you through the Holy Ghost. So Jesus himself doesn't know. Hello? Hello? Does he Babel? Not even the Son knows, but he knows he's coming. And he knows there's birth pains in the world. And he knows the time is drawing closer. And the Holy Ghost knows that there's an urgency. So he's waking up the remnant in the world. He's causing the remnant to rise up. He's calling the remnant to wake up. and to prepare for war, spiritual warfare, before the greatest revival this world has seen. Whether it's going to be 3 months or 6 months or 9 months or a year or 30 years, I don't know. But before Jesus comes, there's going to be revival, and you're going to see it on television. Stadiums are going to be filled. The glory of God is going to move. God's going to move His hand over planet Earth. There's going to be signs and wonders that will astound the magicians of Pharaoh, outsmart them and outwit them. And then Jesus will come. You'll see, it's the Bible. But only the Father. It's the only thing that the Father has not revealed to His Son. Further on, the Son knows everything. But because Jesus is your Savior, He'll tell you. So He says, take heed. Take heed. Wat beteken dit? Wees wakker, man. Wees wakker, akker. Wees wakker. Take heed. Don't become a couch potato Christian. Don't become a comfortable Christian. Don't become a lukewarm Christian. Discern the hour. Even if you cannot put your foot in the church, you should be more vigilant than ever, understanding that your right to worship has been tampered with. And it's an ungodly event that has to change for this nation to be saved. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It's like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants. Now that's important. We'll talk about that, time permitting. He gave authority to his servants. So a lot of people say God is in control. How? Through you and me on planet Earth. People say, well, God will move. How? God's going to move through us. It's like always when it comes to the church, people say, pastor, just pray for the church and chill. God's in control. Okay, well, do the same in your business. Just pray and sit at your home and let's see how well your business does. It doesn't work like that. We've been given responsibility. Power of excusia. Excusia, power of attorney. We are His delegated officials. We are His ambassadors. We are His representatives. So to push back the tide of darkness will not happen through God in heaven. It will happen through His servants on planet Earth. And most of them are asleep. So He says, like a man going to a far country, that's Jesus going back to heaven, who left His house and gave authority to His servant and to each one His work. And we can't sit and slumber. We have a job to do. We are accountable for this hour. We are accountable for this generation. Christianity is not just about keeping your salvation. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 19, we're not going to get there tonight, Matthew 25, God rebukes the one that only lives for himself. And He says, you wicked and lazy servant, why did you not give the gift of salvation to others also? He rebukes that. Oh, pastor, you know, I don't need church to worship God. Okay, just bye-bye, bye-bye. But to fulfill your purpose, you need a church. You need connection. You need to be planted in the house of God, because that's God's way. It is not my way. It is God's way. So people, all they can do is dispute the validity of their salvation. And do we have to dispute the validity of being a human being? I'm a human being. So I can be a useless human being, but it does not disqualify me that I'm a human being. I can sit alone every day of my life. I'm a human being. But if I do nothing for others, I'm a human being doing nothing for others. So why do we debate? I'm a Christian, I've got my Bible, and I don't need a church to worship God. Oh, whoever said you need a church to worship God? Grow up. Word groot. Grow up. Get out of your selfish, self-centered mindset, and you think that's what Christianity is all about. Christianity is about you and your salvation and you getting to heaven. No! We are watchmen. We are accountable. We are responsible for this hour to reach our generation and to leave a legacy, a spiritual legacy for generations to come. And if this does not concern you, I don't know. Because some churches have not opened once in almost 2 years. Children have not been in Sunday school for over 2 years, and that does not bother you? That we're not building a spiritual foundation in the children? That 500,000 children have disconnected from the education system in South Africa, and those are children they know about? What's the future of those children? No education, poverty, pregnancy, social grants, no future. And all you think about is, I just want to be safe. And you're actually not just wanting to be safe, because you go to the restaurant, you climb on the taxi, you climb on the plane, you do your business, you everywhere, you visit your family, you hug everybody, but you've bought the lie that the church is an unsafe place. So obviously, Satan wants to silence the voice of the church. It's not rocket science. But for believers who don't even understand what the church is, for them, it is a mystery. Because all they can talk about is their little prayer at home, their goosebump, and their Bible reading, which means nothing to no one other than themselves. That Christianity is not even found in the Bible. I said that Christianity is not even found in the Bible. Because Jesus taught us to pray, our Father, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sin. Everything about Jesus Christ and the New Testament is Christianity beyond yourself. So he gave authority. Authority to look after the house of God. The kingdom of God. Kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light. Everything you do emanates from one or the other. Everything you do represents one or the other. The authority of the world or the authority of God. To each one his work. Everybody has a responsibility. Like Nehemiah, when they rebuild the walls. Command the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, and when Jesus comes, it's going to be suddenly. Well, everybody's just saying, it's okay, and everybody's getting cold and lukewarm, etc. So suddenly he's going to come. And let me just tell you concerning the rapture, and I'll prove it here from the Bible, not every Christian is going in the rapture. Some Christians, because they're lukewarm, and because they are not committed, and because they're not living a life for the glory of God, when the rapture comes, they'll stay in the tribulation. I'm going to prove it to you from the Bible. That's why if you believe Jesus is returning, you should be standing at the fence of the church. You should be wherever God's presence is, you should be there. You should be helping people like you've never helped people. You should preach the gospel like never, not lay in your bed and watch the Christian TV and then jump to CNN and then jump to a news channel and then jump back to Christian TV. And you think when Jesus comes, you're going? No, you're staying behind. Not a game. You know, I preached a message the final 5 minutes of your life because I've seen so many people leave this earth, and people die the same. Whether you're a pauper or a president, you die the same. When you leave your body, you are just a spirit. You don't leave as a president. And you don't leave as a pauper. You leave as somebody saved or unsaved, and you'll give account. You'll give account. It says, watch therefore, you do not know when the master of the house is coming in the evening, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Sleeping. Not watching. Not engaging in spiritual warfare. Not being the watchman, praying, preaching, expanding God's kingdom. It's like you talk to the average Christian, for them Christianity is something that's passive. When you read the Bible, there's nothing passive about following Jesus. He says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Last words, go into all the world, preach the gospel. The early church, you shall receive power to be witnesses unto me. Everything is about change, expansion, expanding God's kingdom. Amen. Can't you see the laws that they want to pass in this country where they will eventually try to prohibit us from converting people to Christianity because we will violate the human rights? Can you not see what is happening right under your eyes? Because we're asleep. Because the only thing that matters is my salary, my job, and living as long as I can live. And in this time, David says the evil workers, because they are evil workers. Those are people that are working against the church. They hasten their agendas. I mean, today, and the Bible talks about it, it's a clear sign that we are in the last hour. The Bible says that which was normal will be deemed as abnormal. That which is natural will be deemed as unnatural. It's in your face, man. It's in your face. It's not in South Africa yet, but it's coming. Where you can't say to your baby, you're a little boy. You're a little girl. Although biologically you know what they are, you can't tell them, they have to decide. I mean, God didn't make mistakes when He created a man and a woman. And no matter how hard I try, I'm never going to be black. I can put anything on top of me and I can talk sutu kosa, whatever, and say I'm black. Everybody that's black is going to look at me and say, no, you ain't black. Huh? So we have to live. Listen. We have to live as if Jesus can come back any second. We have to plan, be vigilant, be sober, preach the gospel, expand God's kingdom as if He's never coming back in our lifetime. The challenge is now everybody's sitting and waiting and doing nothing. And part of the waiting is that the church that had the platform with the president where we could push, because everybody was in agreement for the safe, responsible reopening of churches, suddenly everybody just disappeared. Suddenly the voice just disappeared. And those who fought for the opening of churches became the target, even from other religious leaders who do not want churches open. Can anybody explain that to me? Never seen the taxis fight one another to shut taxis down. Only pastors fight one another to keep churches closed. Think. As I spelled this morning, T-I-N-K. So we have to watch and pray. Pray for what? Remember, give Him no rest until He establishes. Listen, I have to close. Habakkuk chapter 2, the Bible says, For the earth will be filled with the knowledge, which is the gospel of the glory of God, the glory of God, the goodness of God, revelation of Jesus, as the waters cover the sea. Matthew 24, 12, 14. Remember I said Jesus, Matthew 24, is asking three questions, answering three questions, and it's about three different dispensations. This is the final dispensation, the one we live in. It says verse 12, because lawlessness will abound, which it is, the love of many will grow cold. Christians, they'll become neutral. They'll fall out of love with Jesus and the things of Jesus. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Now that's saved, and I'll prove it to you, talks about raptured. And the gospel of the kingdom, hallelujah, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. That's why I know Jesus ain't coming back tomorrow morning, because we still have a job to do. We still have to preach the gospel. All the earth still have to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the glory of the Lord covers the sea, or as the waters cover the sea. There's still a great task ahead of us, but it's not going to happen without us. If we are unfaithful, we are going to fail this generation, and God will have to delay the return of Jesus Christ, and then Jesus will come 100 years from now or 200 years from now. We've got a job to do. You're sitting there tonight watching on this channel, watching on social media, and you've heard me say many things tonight. The reality is, yes, there's life and death. There's light and darkness. And Jesus Christ is the only way to God. There's not 100 ways. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And yes, the thing about Jesus, He's not against you. He's for you. He loves you. And tonight, maybe you don't have peace with Him. Maybe if you die tonight, you don't know you'll go to heaven. Maybe you serve God, but you've grown cold. Come back to Jesus tonight. Get off the fence in Jesus' name. Get on fire for God again tonight. Put your hand on your heart tonight, right there, and say tonight, Jesus, I give my life back to You. I accept You as my Lord and Savior. I believe with all my heart You died for my sin. I believe You rose from the grave. I believe You are alive. I accept You tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, child of God. Time to stand up. Time to be strong. Time to join a community of believers in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a praise offering tonight. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.